David, thank you for taking the time, especially in the midst of all of your travels and dinners and live streams and everything that you're doing in the world to help so many.
Oh, you are so aligned, Amber, with my mission. Even the Elevate series of elevating others to elevate yourself and empowering others to empower others. So as I prioritize all the activities I have, this is one which is a priority, which is why I too want to wish everybody an amazing Mother's Day weekend and always share my best mother's advice, which is make sure you call, text, email your mom every day and let them know the four things they want to know, which is I am happy, I am healthy, I love you and appreciate you. And I still text my mom. I have her phone right to my left right now. She's passed away, but I kept her phone and her number on my plan just so I could text her that every day. Now, at least I know she reads it every day. Before, I wasn't so sure.
Oh, I love that, David. Thank you for sharing that. So I'm curious, David. I mean, I have so many questions that I want to ask you because you have a vantage point that nobody else in my network has. You, not only through your remarkable career, but the many, many, many entrepreneurs that you speak into on a weekly basis all around the world. So you have just a really good pulse on what's happening. And I want to have a real deep conversation of like, as if we're just not live right now. What are you seeing out there right now? What's the vibe when you're on the Aspire Tour versus when you're in a live stream? What observations have you noticed about people's mood or where the world is headed? Any sort of trends or data you can give us?
Yeah, I call it the quitter pandemic. I have a philosophy about anything that you want to have in your life. It takes 1,000 steps. And we just don't know how long it's going to take to get to the 1,000 step. And when things get hard or challenging, I like to categorize it as, in other words, when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where you want to be or better, the quitters come out. And what do the quitters do? The quitters look for reasons why they're not where they're at, why and what's missing, what they don't have, or other people's opinion. So it creates a collective consciousness and acceleration towards what they don't want, what's missing, what they don't have, what other people want for them. And that's about 98% of the drifters, as they call it with the Napoleon Hill Institute from Outwitting the Devil. These drifters drift very quickly away from their definiteness of purpose. The real opportunity lies in not quitting and knowing that when there's no evidence, or even like today, the evidence is contrary to where you want to be or better, that's when you double down. That's when you can make a difference. That's when the real 2% comes out, and there's more millionaires and now today billionaires made when things get tough, because all the noise is gone, all the competition is gone, and it's just the real players playing real by and utilizing a definiteness of purpose, a desire that they must be what they can be, and they do what it takes. You can even be interested, like the 98% interested in being an entrepreneur, interested in being successful. But when the times get tough and there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary to where we want to be, people that are interested stop being interested. People that are committed, they accelerate, they aggregate, they compound exponentially the outcomes that are there. I've made more big mistakes than most people will in their life. Trust me. I make tons of mistakes every day because I move so quickly. Mistakes have never stopped me. Not once. My first exit in 1995 was with a business, $3.4 billion. I raised hundreds of millions of dollars on Sand Hill Road. I ran Samsung's very first phone division, their data phone division, with a Windows device that never made it. I ran the most notable sports agency in the world. I built a global sports marketing company with the only Black quarterback in the Hall of Fame. And through all of that great success, I still managed to lose over $100 million, go bankrupt, and make thousands of mistakes. But that hasn't stopped me over the last 18 years to live this enormous life that I live, empowering over a billion people to be happy. Because, and I'm going to reiterate when you said, Dave, what are you listening for around the world? I do over 200 meetups for free to answer questions from people in person. Every day I'm online answering questions for free. There is only one thing. I don't lack commitment. I have an ability to love what I don't like and I don't love. I have an ability to love what other people don't like or love. And that ability allows me to enjoy every day consistently with persistence, with no lack of commitment, the pursuit of the truth, the pursuit of my potential. And that has allowed me to make life easy. That's what makes life easy, because life will give you the cheat codes when you do that. When you learn to love what you do and not only do what you love, life gives you its cheat codes. And if you got the cheat codes, look, I suck at video games, but if someone gave me the cheat codes to Fortnite, I promise you I'd be really good. I'm really good at life and business because life gives me its cheat codes because I know the formula to get them.
See why I love this guy? For those of you who don't know David, I mean, he just oozes wisdom. He can't help it. It's just nonstop fire hose of wisdom.
I call it dummy tax. You call it wisdom. But thank you.
If you have questions, please put them in the comments. If we don't get to them live, I will go back through the comments and make sure that you are heard, seen, and valued. David, we are not doom and gloomers. In fact, I think you and I look for opportunities in moments like this. But what do you think are the real threats of what entrepreneurs need to be really aware of right now so that then they can see the opportunity amongst that?
Yeah. So what we need to be aware of is three things. Number one, AI. And when I say being aware of AI, we have to be aware that AI makes humans more human. That's all it does. It'll make humans more human. So it won't get you the answers, but it will get you the better answer in 1,000 times the time, the speed. And so we want to focus in on AI and study AI and practice AI to make us more human, whatever our skills are, our knowledge is of who and what and our desires are enhanced by AI. Secondly, we need to read as entrepreneurs. You know, understanding that reading expands the imagination, what normally happens is people stop reading, they're not working the muscle of imagination. And if they don't utilize the imagination, they're going to start getting having a difficult time seeing what's real, right? The inverse proportionality of knowing imagination shows you what's real. And trust me, one of the critical things of entrepreneurship today is knowing what's real, what's true, not what's imaginative. And also having an imagination, knowing that our own meaning of the past, the old meaning that we give things, it is what limits our future. It limits our imagination. It limits our self-image. And we will never overachieve our own self-image, which is created by the meaning that we give the past and created by our ability to know what's real and what's illusionary or imaginative. And then the third one is what I called old school selling. Man,
yeah.
if you're an entrepreneur and you're not knocking on 150 doors a day, 7 days a week. And when I say doors, it could be in person, on the phone, via email, or media, traditional or social. But if you're not knocking on 150 doors a day, finding out, would it help you if, or do you know anyone that helps me? I promise you, you are going to miss out. So you got to study AI. You got to know what's real by reading, and you got to knock on doors.
Outstanding. I am going to drive ad money behind that segment that you just said because it was so right on. Okay, next question I have for you is, where the heck do we put our attention? And let me expand on that. You know, there's this short-term need of, I've got to get money in the door. You know, there's people that my sales cycles are longer. I'm not selling the way that I used to be selling. I'm nervous financially. So there's this short-term 911. There's a long-term 911 of AI is going to replace 300 million jobs in less than 5 years. And how am I going to survive? What do I need to learn? What do I need to know? On top of your day-to-day normal responsibilities, parenting, if you're a parent, CEO, et cetera, and even preserving wealth, there's short-term strategy for that. Long-term, what am I going to be doing? And health, you know, how can I navigate my stress, my anxiety, what's going on with my physical body? And this is an especially great question for David because your beliefs and value around time. So a lot to unpack here, David. Where the heck do we place our attention moment by moment?
Yeah, I think we have to understand first the formula that it's more than paying attention. It's prioritizing our attention according to a relationship that we have with circumstance and giving it our intention, the five levels of intention of what am I supposed to do, say, think, feel, and believe aligned with where I want to be or better according to the circumstances of today. And so creating a framework for people, what I like to do is have them categorize activities. See, we are in a human experience, which is very clear in its linear nature, meaning it's linear by the respect as a human being. It starts when my heart starts and it stops when my heart stops. My eyes can stop working. My ears can stop working. I can lose an arm. It doesn't matter. But when my heart stops, that linear human experience ends. So what I like to do is take a far step back and say, okay, we have a human experience that is segregated. It's separated by an incremental time. It's the only certainty of the future, which is 24 hours. No matter who you are, the only thing you can guarantee me and anyone else on earth is God has guaranteed us 24 hours tomorrow you will have, unless one exception, it's the last day of your life, you will be cheated. And so now we understand the framework in which our activities and we're utilizing those activities. And so within the framework of those activities, I now want to maximize my use of time and maximize it by saying, okay, I know circumstances screw me up because once I make a plan, time, emotion, and value changes according to these circumstances. How do I take circumstance out of the equation? I'll tell you how. You got to prioritize your non-negotiable behaviors. You got to have non-negotiable behaviors that no matter what will aggregate, accelerate, and compound exponentially these outcomes that you want. You pay attention and you give intention to the coincidences, the coinciding, the consequences, results, and outcomes that you want. So we can break down our lives and make it easy. Half of my life is non-circumstantial. So I take 8 hours a day. That's a third of the guaranteed time I get. And I make my sleep non-negotiable.
Yeah.
No matter what happens tomorrow, I'm getting 8 hours of sleep. I have a sleep coach for 18 years. And my purpose, for the sake of what am I spending 8 hours sleeping for, recovery, knowing that those who recover better perform better, and access to the infinite amount of energy and infinite amount of information that already exists that I interfere with when I don't sleep well. So then I take my health. I give a minimum of an hour on my health. Then I take my family, a minimum of an hour on my family every single day. 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. So 8 hours a day and 1 hour a day is worth a fortune. And I'm taking circumstance out so I'm efficient, effective, and statistically successful. I'm not distracted by all the noise and all the other circumstances that everybody else falls into when they're accelerating in the wrong direction into void, shortages, and obstacles. Then beyond my family, I then take my faith and my finance. Then I study time and I study relativity, which is the meaning of time. That's all relativity means, is it gives meaning to time. And remember, it's the meaning that we give that time that what? Limits our self-image and we'll never overachieve our own self-image. It limits our imagination, never overachieve our imagination. So now I take 12 hours of non-circumstantial behavior, non-negotiably, every day, no matter what. So that leaves me 12 hours of awake time to do whatever the F I want. And it's circumstantial. So now I know in order to maximize, first of all, 90% of my outcomes come from the non-negotiables anyway. All the shit that I really want in life, recovery, access to information and energy, health, family, finance, faith, time, and relativity, all are taken care of. So I already know that the other 12 hours are for fun. They're really just for fun because it's only going to give me 10% of my outcomes. So now I just get better and better of gamifying circumstances to maximize my alignment with the divine direction, with what's important to me according to the circumstance, not according to the divine direction. And so now when the interest rates go up and tariffs come about or there's a missed plane or something's late or who knows what life does. You know, you want to come up with a well-developed plan. God will laugh at you every time. But when God's laughing at me with these funny circumstances, all I'm doing is laughing alongside with him because I already got the 90% of my coincidences, the coinciding taken care of every day, because no matter what God throws at me, I know that I'm going to get my sleep, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, the relativity and time all taken care of in an aggregate accelerated manner to give me exponentiality in my life. And that's what God wants, or your God wants, define it as you may. But I think it's really important when these people feel overwhelmed or they procrastinate because of all the circumstances that exist and their awareness to them, they got to remember that they are remembered and recollected and reminded into the infinite of the oneness of all the energy and all the information that exists. What are you doing to interfere with it? I'll tell you what you're doing to interfere with. You're not prioritizing, because prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed, the antidote to procrastinating, because when you prioritize, you know what to do now and you know what to do next. And part of the prioritization is knowing the difference between a non-negotiable and a negotiable behavior and the relationship that it has to circumstance. And so when you learn to do stuff now and do it next, 100%, by the way, of the things you do now get done. You can't be more statistically successful than that. And so you don't have to feel overwhelmed and procrastinate. You don't have to live in the void, shortages, and obstacles. You can continue just to move forward and keep making all of those mistakes while you know that 90% of your life is taken care of because you took care of your sleep, your health, your family, your finance, your faith, the relativity, and the time. So all the other 12 hours of mistakes that I'm making, because there's trillions of variances and variables in circumstance, I don't really give a shit. Excuse my language. Because I got shit taken care of. And that's what's created this trajectory of a divine direction in divine time. And the miracle that exists as problems contain not just one solution. Every problem or circumstance has multiple solutions in it. And it's human nature or human experience. There's a lapse of time between the problem and the multiple solutions that are available to you. And so we can shorten the distance of resistance by utilizing time and behavior aligned with the divine, in divine direction and divine time. Because what happens is all of those detours, all of those circumstances become divine as well. And so now you, instead of feeling punished because the mortgage rates went up and tariffs are here and your business is failing, instead of feeling punished when you lose over $100 million, including your mom's house, which is the only reason you wanted to be rich, you can sit there in faith and with wisdom, or as I like to call it, dummy text. You can sit there with the wisdom and faith and say to yourself, thank you, God. I don't see the evidence. It looks contrary to where I want to be, but I know I'm protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. And I'm here to learn. Now I'm going to learn, excuse me, because I get emotional because this happened to me. And it took a lot of work to tell God, I hear you, and I'm going to be protected by this. I am not going to be punished, and I'm going to help other people for the rest of my life if you can teach me the lessons. And he did. And here I am today, blessed to be on the Elevate series to share that story and to share that faith and the wisdom to shorten your distance of resistance between you and where you want to be or better.
Woo! Best advice of the entire week. And it's been a week, I will say, but that was pure God coming right through you. Beautiful, David. Wow. Thank you so much. Jeez. It honestly, it brought me back to my moment. You know, it was actually back in 2022 where you are just on your knees, you know, and just in total surrender, knowing that this is your strength training for what's to come. And I look back on that now and realize just how connected and protected I was back then. And so for all of you, you know, ground into that faith and that trust and knowing that you will be supported and protected. So, geez, thank you, David. That was beautiful. I want to ask a question about your own company in operation right now. And what are some of the tactical, practical things that you are doing based on circumstance to pivot and to adapt and be more resilient on a company level? Anything that comes to mind, any counterintuitive strategies or changes that you've made recently?
Yeah, I'm constantly taking inventory of my capabilities and aligning it with this, these capabilities of skills, knowledge of who and what, and the mission of the company. And aligning the skills, the knowledge, and the mission with three things. What is doing well, what is stable today, and what I think is going to do well in the future. And so as I align the capabilities of the company by skills, knowledge of who and what, and the mission of making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, and having a lot of fun, of empowering others to empower others to do just that, then I'm able to, through the analysis of the skills, knowledge, and mission, with what's doing well, what's stable, what I think is doing well, to identify careers, industries, and jobs that are aligned with what's doing well, what's stable, what I think is doing well. And then I can address those communities in three different buckets. Majority, how can I be of service or value for free? A smaller percentage, to create a group of people, like-minded people that want to help each other, know people that help each other, that will buy from each other and sell for each other for life. And then a more proximate group of people that I can work one-on-one with or as a business advisor. And I have effectuated understanding that I'm affecting every day, the majority of what I do is for free, like this, to impact millions and millions of people. And then I have like 5,000 people in a group. It's a private networking group that's guaranteed. And I do charge for the group. I don't charge for 90% of my books are free. In fact, I will send everyone in the Elevate series my book. I will sign it. I will send it to you. I will pay for shipping and the book. So none of this, hey, you know, it's free, but you got to pay me 10 bucks to ship a $3 book. No, it's free. And I will do that because I do 90% for free. Then I curate the room for people who are ready by charging them $497 a year to be a part of our membership. They get advice from me. They get introductions from me. But more importantly, they have access to the community events, over 200 things like this that we're doing and participating in order to effectuate an extreme value. So if they can't afford the $497, you're not ready for the group, or you don't trust me that I guarantee, even if you lose your money, you need your money back because you want to buy something for your girlfriend or your mom, I don't care. You don't like my hair. You don't like my shirt. I'll give you your money back. So if you don't believe the guarantee and or you don't have the money, you're not ready for the group. And so I curate that group and we do over 200 events, everything from the Super Bowl, the Pro Bowl, the Masters, Kentucky Derby, Breeders' Cup, ESPYs, Emmys, Oscars, Grammy, the NASDAQ, the Elevate series. We do so many different things, and that's not counting the virtual things. And so I want everyone to realize that you should do an inventory of these capabilities, check out your skills, your knowledge of who and what, and your mission, align it with what's doing well, what's stable, and you think is going to do well. Look at the jobs, careers, and industries that are involved in that, and then reach out and understand value. See, value, so people get so confused. Value is simple. Value is your capability of giving and articulating it, but giving someone what they like, what's working, or what they know. If you give them more of what they like, more of what's working, and more of what they know, that's value. Or take away what they don't like, what they don't know, or what's not working. And so I'm constantly, whether it's free, group, or one-on-one, teaching people and helping them by giving them more of what they like, what they is working, and what they know, or taking away what they don't like, what's not working, what they don't know, by asking them, would it help you if? And completing the infinite loop of giving and the problems which contain multiple solutions, do you know anyone that could help me? And through this infinite loop, I am ending up in a position where I'm giving more, I'm giving more, I'm receiving more. And through my faith, I'm asking for more than more. So most people, that 98% of the drifters in the world, are living in a zero-sum game because they are very kind, generous, and giving people. They give more than they receive. Although they believe if you give more, you'll receive more. Yes, you will. But if you don't accept it and ask for more than more, you're going to end up at zero. It's simple math. you give more than you receive, you end up at zero eventually. It's called a zero sum game. You give more, you're given more, receive more, and ask for more than more. When you're 81 years old, you can have more than enough of everything for everyone. You're going to live in an abundant world of more than enough of everyone and for everything, and be able to give even more than more.
You and I have such alignment around the value of human connection and helping others to feel heard, seen, and valued, to be generous, to experience that mutual reciprocation. And I can almost hear someone in the audience saying, that's nice, David, but, you know, for whatever reason, they are closed, they're guarded, they're coping, they're just having such a hard time believing right now because of whatever their circumstances. Do you have any practical, like, do this, this, and this to help people open back up and shine their light forward into the light, especially when it's the hardest, you know, maybe after loss of a loved one or something else?
Yeah, I recently experienced that. And I was reminded of my favorite quote, which when my mom passed and I thought I was prepared, I got to say goodbye in the ideal way. And my dad had passed in the past. You're either humble or you're about to be. And I thought I would be fine. My heart's still broken. And so as I'm going through this still today, because my mom was such an amazing person and I fight it every day, I simply have the wisdom and faith to do one thing. See, I used to try to fight it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, and deny it. And I went to therapy and I've spent millions of dollars on personal development. And I encourage people to do that. But through that journey, what I learned was that the real capability I had was to identify the clues and the patterns of how I react to the trauma and the fear. I really don't know what I'm afraid of. And I can't tell which one of the multiple traumas of past lives, of my infant life, my toddler life, my tween and teen and 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s lives, that the trauma that has been created is affecting or impacting me. But I've learned one thing, that the instant and obvious clue is how I react to it. Because when I'm angry, I know it. When I'm worried, I know it. When I'm resentful, guilty, offended, separate, inferior, and superior, I know it. When I'm anxious and depressed, I know it. Instantly. I don't need a therapist. And so what I've learned to do is to have wisdom and faith. And instead of trying to resist it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate it, cheat it, and deny it, I have all the faith in the world to recollect, remind, and remember it. Because I know that the human experience, I am here given a body. I am here to learn lessons. I will forget every lesson ever learned, but I have the power to remind, remember, and recollect it at any time, all the lessons. And so for me, when I feel instant and obvious pain, reaction to fear, reaction to trauma, I stop. I remind, remember, and recollect what I'm part of, an omniscient and all-powerful, unified, abundant, infinite system. And I drop in that remembrance, reminding myself and recollecting myself as a co-creator in this universe. And then I roll. I roll in a divine direction, making that divine detour into divine time. And so when my mind, body, and soul are on fire, it's obvious. And when it gets on fire, I listen to my mom, who told me, when you're on fire, son, you got to stop, you got to drop, and you got to roll. And that's what I'm here to teach people to do, is to find their higher self and to enjoy that consistent, persistent pursuit of their potential. You have been a blessing. I look forward to doing so much more with the Elevate series. I'm looking forward to sharing you with the world. And if anybody would like my book or guide or exercise or help, we have free trainings every day. Over 100,000 people register for them. I have a group, as I mentioned. I have a wait list for my one-on-one help. Just email me directly, david@dmeltzer.com. Amber, thank you so much for this opportunity.
You're the best, David. Thank you so much.